lesson today is found in the 19th chapter of the book of Genesis concerning the destruction of the city of Sodom and Gomorrah. We read that God had given unto Abraham to pray unto him, and when he prayed, he pleaded for the inhabitants of Sodom. And when he got to where there was only 10, if it was possible that there were 10 righteous left in that city, would God spare the city? And God promised that if there were 10, he would still spare the city. And he left off communing with Abraham. It was God that communed with him, and it was God that gave him to pray. But when it came to below 10, then communion was cut off. And we find that Lot, who dwelt in the city of Sodom, he sat in the gate of the city towards the evening. And while he was sitting there, he saw two men coming in the distance. And he ran to meet them. He fell on his face and prayed them that they would come in and stay with him in his house. But they refused. They said they would not. They said they would stay in the street of the city. But he pressed on them very greatly, it says, and they consented, and they went into him. In the east, it seems that they had no hotels or any motels or any places to stay, as we have in these times in which we live. They usually stayed in the square of the city if they had no place to stay. Sometimes they stayed with somebody that asked them and gave them an invitation to come in and to abide with them. So we find Lot sitting outside of the gate of the city, and he is acting very respectful. He's acting very friendly, shows his generosity to these strangers who he did not know. He questioned them that they should not stay in the city because he feared what would take place with these men if they remained all night on the street. Therefore, he greatly pressed upon them to come in, which shows, as the Bible teaches us, that Lot was a righteous man and that he vexed his inmost soul with the wickedness that was going on in the city where he dwelt. And here he shows his hospitality to these two strangers. And they went in with him. And when they went in with him, why, he made a feast for them of unleavened bread. And they ate with him. This was another generosity on his part towards these two men. And now, while they were inside of the house, the men of the city of Sodom came round about the city, round about the house, young and old, it says, all the inhabitants practically of the city. They came round the house, and they called unto Lot and asked Lot to bring out those two men that had come into him. We can see in this what a pitch of sin that this city had got into. Young and old, they desired to have these two men come out to them, and they would know them. This sin that they were privy to, and which they were not ashamed of, still carries its name to this day after the city, sodomy. They wanted then Lot to release these two men to them. It practically teaches us that this city was nothing else but a city full of sinners, as the Bible says, greatly before the Lord. And Lot, he heard them crying to him, and he went outside the door to talk to them. And he spake unto them and said unto them, brethren, do not so wickedly. He was a righteous man. In all probabilities, he had warned them more than once, seeing the sins that they were doing and committing. He spake against them, and they did not like him for this reason. And now he came out and spoke to them and said, brethren, do not so so wickedly. But they were so burning within of these vile affections of their bodies that they would not listen to the warning of Lot. They said to him, "What, you just come here to sojourn with us and you're going to be a judge to us? Now we will treat you worse than the men inside." And they pressed very greatly upon Lot. They were going to take him and misuse him. And Lot, he spake to them again and said, "I have two daughters inside which have never known men. I'll bring them out to you, and you do unto them as you seem good. But these two men that are inside of my home, do not do anything to them, for therefore they are come under the roof of my house." Something we can't understand of a righteous man offering his two daughters to such a mob of cruel, violent creatures who were outside his door. One would think that he would have left the matter to God. He would have quick shut the door and, well, if they're going to come in, God will have to prevent it, or otherwise we'll fall into their hands. But here he offers his two daughters to them so that they could use them the way they wanted. They passed this by, these men. It's remarkable that they did. It's a wonder that they didn't say, "Well, bring them out." They didn't. Lot, he said this. Why? The commentary doesn't give us any answer. He must have been so confused and so mixed up, anything to save these two men. Out in the East, when they take somebody into their home and they invite them to stay there, they are to defend the life of that person. They are even to offer up their own life for such the friends that have come into them. This is the way they do in the East. And now, this man Lot, he had offered them this, and they still pressed upon him. And when they pressed upon him, they wanted to get to the door and break the door down. But the men inside the door, the two angels, they opened the door, grabbed a hold of Lot, pulled him in, and shut the door. In this respect, they already saved Lot's life. These angels, they showed forth their power when they done this. They smote these men outside of the house with blindness. Angels are ministering spirits unto those that are to receive the salvation of God. But they are also messengers of destruction. And these two angels had been sent by God to destroy this city because of the sins that they were committing. And now these men inside, they had this power that they could do this. These men outside of the home, they wearied themselves trying to find the door because they were blind. They couldn't see it. Further on in Scripture, we read of Elisha that he likewise had the whole city surrounded with the Syrian army. And his servant went out, and when he came back, his master said, "How shall we do?" "Oh," he says, "we're just surrounded with the Syrian army." So then this Elisha, he prayed to the Lord, and he said, "Lord, open the young man's eyes." And when he opened his eyes, he saw the heavens round about, filled with chariots and filled with hosts that were there to protect Elisha. And Elisha, he prayed, "Lord, smite these men with blindness." And God heard his prayer and answered him, and this Syrian army was smitten with blindness. They couldn't get into the house where Elisha was. And Elisha went out, and he led them to the city of Samaria. And when they came into the city of Samaria, Elisha prayed again to God, open now their eyes. And the Lord opened their eyes, and there they were in the midst of Samaria, in the midst of those against whom they had come up to fight, the Israelites. And the king, he said unto Elisha, Father, shall I smite them? Shall I smite them? No, Elisha says. Would you smite those that you had taken captive? Give them something to eat. And he prepared a great feast for them. And they, after they had eaten, they left. And they never no more tried to fight against Israel. Here we have angels who had the power themselves to smite these people with blindness. And here we have a prophet who had power with God in prayer. And they likewise experienced blindness that were seeking to take him prisoner. But these men, they were wicked creatures, sinners before God greatly. They were blinded by the God of this world. They were blinded by the fiery lust and desires that they had. Unnatural lust, terrible abominations to have men instead of, as nature teaches us. These men then, they couldn't find the place to get into the house. And now the angels, they spake unto Lot. And they said unto Lot, hast thou any here besides, any sons, any daughters, any sons-in-laws? Go to them, speak to them, and tell them, we have been sent to destroy the city. And so Lot, he ups and he goes outside. It's remarkable that he goes outside, being the house had been surrounded with all these men. He goes out and he goes and visits his son-in-laws. It must have been dark, it must have been in the nighttime. And when he came to his sons-in-laws, he spake to them and said, up, get out of this city, because God is going to destroy it. They looked at him and they laughed. They mocked with him. They thought he's probably touched in his head. Maybe he had a dream and he woke up and he came to us and talked about it. They didn't believe him. Oh, my dear hearers, how the message of the gospel likewise is received, just like the son-in-laws of Lot. How many of you listening to me have all your lifetime been coming under the gospel? How many warnings and admonitions have come to you in love to turn from your sins, to flee from your evil ways? And you, like the sons-in-laws of Lot, turned a deaf ear to it. Don't believe it. Put this day far from you, as if it'll never happen. And if it does, it'll only happen to somebody else, not to you. So these son-in-laws of Lot, this is the way they acted, with the warning that God brought to them by the mouth of Lot. God had mercy even for his son-in-laws. If they only had listened. God has mercy for you, my dear hearers. He's rich in mercy. He's a God of compassion, of pity. And he speaks as Lot spake unto his son-in-laws. Get up out of this city, for God is going to destroy it. So he comes to you by the gospel and tells you to turn unto him that ye may be saved. For we are doomed. We are to be destroyed. And we shall be destroyed if we go on in our sins. Oh, that God, in his infinite mercy, may bring home the word to your very hearts, and that it may cause you to return unto him. You may say inside, just like these sons-in-laws of Lot, oh, we've heard this so long. We've tried to do what you said to us, and we have had no success. Oh, God is a God of long suffering, a God of mercy and of pity, and he calls to us in his word, that we are to give ear unto his word and listen to what he says. He has no delight in our death, in our destruction. Therefore, he sends his word to us. Oh, may you be given to receive his word by faith, to believe his word, and not to be like the sons of Lot. Oh, harden not your hearts while it is yet called today. Oh, seek the Lord while he may be found, and call ye upon him while he is yet near in the gospel that I am bringing unto you. There is with God forgiveness. There is pardon. Oh, to be saved, to be prepared for that great and ever-ending eternity. Lot had to return home. And when he came home, the angels, they spake unto him and said, take your wife and your two daughters and get up, haste, get out of the city, for we are sent to destroy it. A message of love to Lot, a message which Lot believed at this time. But Lot, like so many of his God's dear children, he was so attached to Sodom, so attached to his riches, to his cattle, and to getting more money. He lingered, it says in the Bible. He lingered. He acted very slowly, just as if he didn't want to go. Oh, my hearers, there's an almighty power necessary to bring any person out of that state of sin and iniquity in which we are in. These angels, they took Lot by the hand and his two daughters and his wife because he lingered. Probably his wife too. She probably was an inhabitant of this city of Sodom. You do not read of Lot having a wife when he dwelt with Abraham. It's 20 years has gone by. He probably took a woman out of Sodom. And now he and his wife, they were attached to the city, to the riches they had there. And they didn't want to go. They had to leave everything because everything was going to be destroyed. Their house, all their cattle, everything that they had would be gone. To leave that. My dear hearers, who of us, when put to the point, would leave everything? Who would leave their parents? Who would leave their wife, their husband, their children, for the sake of Jesus Christ? Hearken, O daughter, and consider. We have just been singing it. Oh, consider what it is to forsake your father's house and every former friend to have Jesus take a great delight in you. Oh, you see, my hearers, I'm putting it to you that it's the mercy of God that takes hold of a person and brings them out of that state and condition in which they are in. For none of us want to go. We are like Lot, we linger. But it pleased God to use these angels who were ministers sent by God unto this person Lot. He was the only righteous person in this city, and it could not be destroyed until he had been brought out of it. Oh, if you happen to be one of God's dear children, just think of this, how much God thinks of his children, how he will take care of them, how he took care of Lot, and how that these angels took hold of Lot and his wife and his two daughters and actually pushed them out of the city, brought them out. Oh, what a wonderful mercy was shown to this family, my hearers, so that they would not be destroyed in the overthrow that was to come. And now when they got to the edge of the city, the then Lot, he really realized how good God had been. But he still did not want to go to the mountain that the angels told him to go to. He spake unto them and said, thou hast magnified thy grace and thy mercy unto me in saving my life. But I cannot flee to the mountain because if I do, some evil is apt to fall upon me and I am to die. Can I not enter into this city that's nearby? It's only a little one. And the Lord gave answer to his prayer. He says, I have accepted you in this. Haste, go ahead, enter into this city, for I cannot do anything until you get into that city. Now what do you see in Lot? You see in Lot that he had very little trust, very little faith in God. Here he had experienced this miracle of being brought out by God. His life had been preserved. Do you think God would have taken his life away if he would have went up on that mountain? He was afraid. He says, I'll meet something that's evil there and I'll probably die there. He should have trusted. He should have relied upon God. He had been so good to him and he had brought him out. But now he desired to go into this city, a small city called Zoar. And the Lord accepted him. The Lord heard and answered his prayer. What a wonder. And we find that Lot and his wife and his two daughters went into Zoar. And as they went into Zoar, the sun rose up. And it was going to be a beautiful day. But no more than the sun had rose up and they had entered into this city, then the storm came. And God rained fire and brimstone from heaven down upon these cities. Four cities. We only have mention of two, but there were four. Adama and Seboam, besides Sodom and Gomorrah. He rained hell out of heaven down upon these creatures that dwelt in these cities. How awful, my hearers. There never was anything like it before that, and there never was anything like it since then. That terrible fire that came down from God showed his indignation, his wrath, his anger against these people that dwelt in this city. Oh, what a terrible catastrophe this was to them. How sudden it came upon them, sudden destruction from the Lord. Oh, this fire, this brimstone is spoken of as a type of that fire that every person that goes on in his ungodliness and dies in his sins will be cast into. It will be a lake of fire and brimstone. The Bible teaches us this. This place, God placed this fire and brimstone down upon it. Brimstone is something like sulfur, and this fire was like lightning. Not just one flash of lightning, it was a shower of lightning, and it set everything on fire, the ground and everything. Everything that was in these places was burnt to a crisp. And the inhabitants with it. How awful was this judgment that God showed unto this place because of their unnatural sins. They were fired with lust unnaturally, and they were burnt with a fire that came from God, a strange fire. As you read, they had strange lust, and they were consumed by a strange fire. Oh, my dear hearers, this terrible thing that happened to these people was just and was righteous of God. We see that he must and shall punish sin. And therefore, who would take it wrong of God that he'd done something like this to these people? Where they had forsaken everything. They were just given over to their lust and to their passions and corruptions. And in this respect, they choose this above seeking God and calling upon him to be saved. Oh, how many we find in the times in which we live, who are given over to forsake everything, to run the path which runs to that awful place where it will be fire and brimstone. This place where these cities were, they became nothing else but a lake. At first it was small, but it increased. And now today it's called the Salt Sea. First they called it the Dead Sea. This became filled with water from the River Jordan. And this place has nothing growing around it, no vegetation at all, no trees to be seen. And still the water is so clear, but there is so much salt in this water that when they attempt to swim or attempt to dive in, then they hit the salt, and it's hard for them to maneuver themselves in this water. This is a standing monument, the sea, of the righteous indignation of God against sin and sinners. Oh, what a terrible thing this was for these people. But now Lot and his wife and his two daughters, they were given to enter into Zoar. But as they entered into Zoar, we read, Lot's wife turned around and looked back against the express commandment of God. They were not to look back. Everybody that I've read of said her heart was in Sodom. Her home was in Sodom. Everything she had was in Sodom. And now the commentary says they believed that she actually turned around and was going to go back because she felt that she wouldn't be destroyed. But when she turned around and looked back, she was smitten by God. She immediately became a pillar of salt, the Bible says. A monument, dead in an instant, and she was petrified. In fact, travelers say, you still can see this. This monument that God had given and made of this woman because that she disobeyed the express commandment of God. What an awful thing this was for Lot to lose his wife in this way. There she stood. And they say, travelers, even Josephus, one of the Jewish historians, he had went there and he had seen it. He said it was still there. It never would turn. It never would deteriorate. It remained that way. But this woman lost her immortal soul by looking back. Jesus uses this emblem unto Christians who at times get so low in their feelings, get so low in belief, who fear that they will turn back. Have any of you ever had that? Have you ever had that temptation to leave it all, not to believe anything anymore, and to go back into the world? The devil comes with such temptations to turn the people of God back from serving him. And Jesus speaks expressly to his people in the Gospels concerning this, that they should not do like Lot's wife, look back. Oh, it's a blessing if we can look back at the life that we have led, and we can look back to that day when God came to us and changed us and turned us. Not just one particular day. Sometimes it takes maybe a year the person is concerned about their immortal souls, and before light breaks through and faith is given and the assurance is given that they are chosen by God and loved by him. This is a great blessing when we have this in this life and we can look back to that time, a time never to be forgotten, a time in which God showed mercy, showed favor and grace to us. And led us out of this world of sin and iniquity and brought us on the narrow way which leadeth to everlasting life. Have any of my hearers experienced this? It's good to look back, to remember the days of old, to remember when you had a song in the night, but now you're in darkness, when you're in unbelief, in fear that it's all wrong. A great blessing when God makes old mercies new mercies for us. But we are not to look back at that life that we led and had such a delight and love to it to go back to it again. This the flesh would love to do. And this is what Jesus warns against. Oh, it is true, if we are one of his people, we never, never can turn back. Never. If we do, if we backslide, then he will come with the rod and he will restore us back in his favor. What a mercy if we may be one of his dear children. And now we find Lot. He went into this city, and this surprises me. He prayed that he may enter into this city. He prayed so that he wouldn't go up on this mountain because he was afraid that some evil would come upon him and he would die. He goes up to this mountain anyway. And he lives in a cave up there with his two daughters, for fear that probably the inhabitants of Zoar might do something to him. And while they are living in this cave, these two daughters reveal what sort of women they were. Lewd! Oh, terrible, my hearers. Something you really wouldn't like to speak about. Still, the Bible has it in it to teach us how wonderful God is. Here they had experienced his mercy. They had been led out of Sodom. They had been spared. And still we find they still have the same nature. They're not any different. You see, you may go through a lot of things in life, providential things, wonderful blessings God may give to you. He may keep you in a time of evil. He may keep you in a time of danger. But there may be some young men listening to me who likewise have experienced they were in the service of God. I mean, they were in the service of the country. And in the service of the country, they were brought to the battlefront. And they seen many of their companions smitten down. But they were spared. What a wonder that you were spared. Who are you that you were spared? It was God that spared you. And that was a warning to you, escape, escape for your life. For there is a time coming when you must die. How have you accepted that warning, my young men? Has it wrought anything in your hearts? I am afraid not. This deliverance that these people had, the mother turned to a pillar of salt. The two daughters, they became lewd persons. They were given to bear children of their father, unknown to their father. And they became two great mighty nations, the Moabites and the Ammonites. Thus we read of Lot. Thus it is the end of Lot. We don't read of his death. We don't read any more of Lot. Wouldn't it have been better, to my and your estimation, if Lot had went to Abraham? He didn't want to go to Abraham either. He wanted to get out of Sodom because God was going to destroy it. And instead of pleading with the angels to go back to Abraham, he remained somewhere near Sodom. What happened to him, the scripture does not give us any account of. But we find likewise that Abraham, he had been praying for his nephew Lot. God had heard him until he came to the number of 10. And there were no 10. But there was one. And God had spared that one for Abraham's prayer. For Abraham stood where he had stood with the Lord. And when he looked, he seen the smoke and everything going up in the sky. He seen that these cities had been destroyed. But God remembered Abraham, it said, and brought Lot out of the overthrow. Oh, what a mercy, my heroes, to be a praying soul here in this life, to have connection with the God of heaven. I was thinking about this city, Zoar. Lot, he prayed to these angels that they would let him go into this city, Zoar. It was destined to be destroyed, but because he prayed, God heard him, and God answered him, and he spared this little city, unknown probably to any of the inhabitants in it. They were given to experience God's sparing mercies over and against the other cities that were justly destroyed by God. Oh, what a mercy it was that God delivered Lot out of the overthrow. Oh, have you any idea of being delivered in that great day of accounts, which is hastening upon us all, the day of death, the day of judgment? Oh, where shall you and I appear? Shall we be overthrown? Shall we be cast into the lake of fire and brimstone? Have you ever submitted unto God and said, "Just and holy and righteous art thou, O God, if thou dost cast me in"? What a mercy if you accept your own condemnation. If they that accept it, for them there is no condemnation. Oh, may God give every one of us to flee yet to Jesus Christ, that spiritual Zoar, that we may be found in him and that we may be clothed with his righteousness. For the day of judgment is coming and God is coming, and woe be to that person that is found outside of Jesus Christ. It would be better had that person never been born. The Lord bless the feeble exhortations this day to your immortal souls. That's all.